Veterans Day is coming up this Sunday, and there's going to be a Veterans Day parade, and I've got some gentlemen in here with me this morning. We've got Cal Appleby, Jim Call, Tim Sapp, Tom Benedict, and Bob Brown, and I've got three microphones, and we're all sharing here. So how's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Doing good. Great.
Thanks for the invite.
You are so welcome. I want to start off first talking about just Veterans Day itself before we get to the actual parade that's going to be coming up here. And I've got four of you that are veterans. Let's go with Jim first, because Jim, you are the one with the longest period of time since you've served. Assuming that a World War II veteran. Tell me a little bit about your service and your past.
Well, I was a pilot and doing what I love to do.
What'd you fly?
I flew C-47s mainly, and it wasn't the airplane that I desired to fly when I started. But
what did you want to fly? B-26?
Yeah, B-26 or a P-38, maybe more.
Fighter, yeah.
Yeah, I worked at Lockheed for a while, so I knew about the airplane.
Well, the C-47, of course, I mean, you still see DC-3s around, flying around today, which is the civilian version.
I was very familiar with that because I had a brother that worked for the airlines, and they were flying DC-3s.
Did you continue with that after service?
No, I went to school and I was a salesman. I went to work for a lumber company selling appliances. And that's where I got launched, and I stayed in that business for a long time, eventually becoming a wholesale distributor, and made lots of wonderful trips abroad because we used foreign trips as incentives to get the dealers to buy our product. So it was a very interesting, wonderful experience.
Do you think if you would have been able to fly the P-38, you might have been encouraged to stay in flight afterwards?
Or? I probably would have, because I turned out to be just a truck driver.
Yeah, which is basically what the C-47 does,
yeah, right?
Just moving stuff around.
But it was exciting, and, you know, I was over there in the thick of it and with a lot of people that had more important tasks. But in a way, ours was very important, too, because we transported a lot of troops and we transported a lot of ammunition and everything else to make the war work. So,
were you a European or Pacific?
Pacific.
So did you do a lot of island hopping then?
Oh, yeah. I got to know the South Pacific intimately.
Did you get to meet Pappy Boynton?
No, but I knew
of him?
Yes. I am trying to recall one of my more important missions was moving MacArthur from Australia to the Philippines, and with a lot of his junk, mostly his junk. And
so he carried his whole household with him or something?
He had a lot of paraphernalia, I'll tell you.
That's pretty awesome.
It was interesting, and, you know, it was probably not as exciting as combat, but probably a little more exciting sometimes when we were out there without any ammunition or wherewithal to defend ourselves and flying in that neck of the woods. So,
well, I'm sure it was much more exciting than anything I've ever done.
Yeah.
I'm sure of that.
But it was great. I mean, it was a wonderful experience, and I got to see a lot of foreign territory and observe different people and nationalities, and it's just being with a lot of great people, you know, that I'll never forget.
All right. How about you, Tom? Tell me a little bit about your service.
Well, I started out in the Navy. I was an avionics technician and got into air crew, and I became a crewman navigator on what was known as the A-3 or the Whale. We flew combat support missions. We did tanking because it was an older plane, but it was beautiful for tanking, so that's what we did off the carriers. And after getting out of the Navy, I went into the Air Force and flew cargo transports for them, C-141s, and I flew them for 18 years. Got into the Persian Gulf War after Vietnam, and after the Gulf War, I retired and went to teach in school for 20 years. So,
pretty cool.
Yeah, I've got to 36 different countries and around the world, so I feel like I, got my money's worth out of it. And I hope they got their money's worth out of me, because I really enjoyed the job. Would have stayed with it but they said I was getting a little too old.
Getting long in the tooth there, huh?
Yeah.
How about you, Bob?
I'm Bob Brown. I was in the Air Force during Vietnam, went to Vietnam. I worked on C-7s, O-2s, forward air controllers, and then I always flew on C-135 tankers. When I reenlisted, I worked on WC-135. So after refueling other airplanes such as B-52s, which I also worked on, looking down at them, I was on the bottom looking up at them. So we flew around the world. We flew 20-hour missions. We flew Apollo launches out of Florida, talked to the spacecraft. We went to many, many places around the world. Everyone says, well, it's exciting once you get there. Yeah, as long as the engines weren't falling off and the work we had to do to get it ready to go again. But when you're young and you want to see the world, that's the way to go. After 8 years in the Air Force, I got out and start working in the bus business, which I worked for 38 years. Loved it. I traveled all over the place for the bus company. I ran the training department, investigated accidents, went to court on multi-million dollar cases, and just had a ball. But the training experience I received in the Air Force paid off in the civilian life, because that's where my training came for learning how to train people on the buses. And then I drove bus up here in Oregon for 5 years and went on a lot of tours and a lot of charters and met people from around the world and some former Air Force people that I used to know. So it's been a lucrative life.
So tell me, what's the difference between a C-135 and a WC-135? What's the designation difference there?
Okay, basically they were cargo airplanes. KC-135 was designated as a tanker. The WCs were originally cargo planes at Travis. When the C-141s became into production, they were replaced and sent to the Weather Service and became weather. That's the WC designation. And what we would fly is when other countries were testing nuclear weapons, we'd go out and snoop. We would pump their air into our spheres in the airplane and then go test it and see how strong their bombs were and what they were made of.
That doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun.
And we flew weather tracks for, like I said, Apollo, for airplanes being transported to the war zone. You name it, we went.
Cool. Tim Sapp is also here with us today. Tim, tell me a little bit about your background.
Oh, about Vietnam. I was in the Army and went to Nam. You know, as a kid, I liked to play in the mud a lot. Well, I got that again over there in Vietnam. We were down south near Saigon, but mainly stayed out in the rice paddies in the jungle on the ground. Yeah, just dodging bullets, having fun.
Yeah, so you were infantry?
Yes, yep. We were mechanized infantry, actually, on the armored personnel carriers, and they'd take us to some site, and then we'd go from there, and then we'd stay in the jungle overnight. We had an ambush on the ground every night, and, you know, just I made it for 7 months before I got to fly home in an airplane laying down in a bed. It was pretty nice.
Wow, that's just that doesn't sound too great. I mean, well, you got to go home. I guess that was probably
They call it a million-dollar wound, but I don't know.
Yeah. You didn't get your $1 million, though, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, coming up this Sunday is, of course, Veterans Day, and there's a parade that is being put together. And Tim, we know now that you are the Grand Marshal. I actually knew before the announcement, but I wasn't allowed to say. I was sworn to secrecy, so I was able to keep my mouth shut for a little while there. But Cal, you've been involved in the museum and also in setting up the parade. Tell us a little bit about the parade and the history of that.
Well, it actually started, my wife and I moved to Florence full-time in 2005, and that's when I met Tim and knew that he had been a Vietnam veteran, and he knew that I was into old Jeeps, military Jeeps particularly, so we developed a friendship, and about a year later, I ended up selling him one of my Jeeps, and we thought, you know, we really ought to have a parade for driving the Jeeps in.
And you guys are still friends.
We're still friends, yeah. It doesn't happen when you sell cars to each other. And so we started, along with Wayne Sharp, actually, the three of us plus a couple other individuals started the Veterans Day Parade, the first one in 2006, so we're coming up on, this will be our 13th year. And it's changed a lot. It's grown a lot, which is really great. Tim's still involved in the committee. I'm a little bit on the fringes providing some logistics, but we have new blood in town that stepped up, particularly some of our veterans.
Like Bob there.
Like Bob here. One of the things that I think is unique about our parade is we are continuing to grow where other communities are struggling keeping their Veterans Day parades going. Bob just found out earlier this week, and it was on the news a few weeks ago, that the Springfield parade that's been going for a lot of years has been canceled because they can't get enough volunteers. And Medford parade has been Veterans Day parade has been canceled. So we're really excited at the fact that our parade is still going, and it's a testament to the heavy veteran population we have in this town and the appreciation our community has for the veterans.
That's really good. And by the way, you mentioned Wayne. We were going to have Wayne in here, but I asked him about his military service, and I didn't think anybody wanted to hear about ice cream cones at Disneyland. So we decided not to bring
you him. You mean
back.
Private Sharp?
Yeah. Private Sharp.
Like they used to say, and the rest of the story comes later.
Yeah, it does. Tim, what does the honor of being Grand Marshal mean for you?
Wow, that's first off, man, I was shocked. I was really surprised, but you know, in the service, you fight for your country and you fight for your family. And when you come home, being Grand Marshal is just another honor. You know, it's just, I was really surprised and honored. So, there's about 100 of us that deserve that out there, but they chose me this year, so I'm thankful.
All right. We'll talk more about the time and everything of the event coming up on Sunday. But I did want to ask those of you who are Vietnam era. When you came back, did you experience the similar things that some of the veterans talk about people turning their heads, turning away, saying nasty things, or did you have a better experience than that? Who wants to? Bob?
Yeah, this is Bob Brown. Let's see. I came back from Vietnam 1972, the end of 1972. Stayed in the Air Force till 74, but to be quite honest, after that, my mother wanted me to become a member of the VFW. I didn't want anything to do with it. I kept my service a secret. I didn't want anyone to know that I was in Vietnam because everybody, all they did was talk down to you like you were dirt. I think even today, we fought for all the freedoms that everybody has and all the values, and we don't see many of those still being perpetrated, if you will, or carried forward. I wonder what those 58,000 people would have thought if they were still here.
Yeah, amen.
So a lot of Vietnam veterans, we didn't have a choice. We were 17, 18 years old out of high school. Do you want to join or do you want to be drafted? You didn't have a choice of what you were going to do, get married, have an education, or a career till after your military service if you were fortunate enough to come back and come back in a condition that you could carry on a career.
Well, I don't want to, you know, compel anybody to talk about it, but if anybody else has something.
Well, I didn't have too many problems with other people bothering me about it. I heard a lot of guys talk about how they got yelled at and spit on and stuff, but I come from back in the Midwest, and so we didn't have too much of that back
there. A little different culture there.
Yeah, yeah, and they were fairly supportive. A lot of people just wouldn't ask about it. And other people did and would say, well, you had a rough time over there or whatever. I lost some good friends over there, And it was hard, you know, to take. But after my third tour over there, I was glad to be done with it and didn't really want to go back, although I did escort some – when I was flying, we escorted some fighter planes over to there because they didn't have the navigation that we had. Other than that, I was not any more involved with it, so it was kind of nice being out of it. But mostly the people back home were pretty supportive, I think.
Now, Jim's our World War II veteran, but Jim, you got something you want to add to that, don't you?
Yeah, I had my youngest brother was killed in that war, and he signed up, much to my mother's distress, before he was 17, and he was a great loss. And he was very young, of course, and he got killed practically the day he went in the battle. And so that's my sad memory about it.
Tim, you have anything to add?
Well, I had good family support. You know, when I got home, I was wounded, so I was home a while. But my family supported me and encouraged me, and so I didn't have to go through what some of them did. Yeah, I had a wonderful family support, very important.
One thing I notice about Florence in particular is the amazing support there seems to be for our veterans. I mean, you think of the Kiwanis putting out the flags, you know, all the time.
Right.
Military days, holidays, all that stuff. And people just seem to getting together. You know, I come from Tucson, Arizona. Because it was a much bigger town, I don't think you noticed or recognized as much was going on. Do you guys feel this is pretty unique for here? Or are a lot of the smaller communities tend to be like this?
I think it's unique in our community. I don't see it so much in, you know, my hometown. But, we have a good community, a lot of veterans, a lot of veterans organizations. But, yeah, a lot of people say, you know, they thank me for serving. But, you know, it was an honor to serve. You know, the situations weren't always perfect, but, you know, we're fighting for our country and our family.
Amen.
I'd like to just add something to what Tim was talking about. I had the privilege of riding with Tim, one time coming back from picking up an old Army Jeep, actually, and he opened up and started telling me some of the horrors that he went through in Vietnam. And our community needs to really appreciate what our veterans have done for us.
Actually, it's the veterans and the community that got me to move here. After I retired from teaching in Nevada, I was just kind of driving around up here in my RV, with my RV, and I was staying out at South Jetty there at Thousand Trails when I heard Wayne on the radio say something about needing help with the Veterans Museum. So I thought, well, I'll go over there and see what it's about. Well, I went over there
I handed him a shovel.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't left.
Yeah, they put me to work and said, "You ain't leaving." But seriously, though, I met a lot of the guys working there and got involved with them, and I thought, wow, these guys are cool, you know, that's when I really got involved with veterans things and the town, and I decided this is where I want to stay because the people here are wonderful. They're just really wonderful here.
All right, Cal, what is the time of the Veterans Day Parade coming up on Sunday?
It starts at 1 o'clock. Staging is at 11:30 there on Quint Street, just beyond the Florence Event Center. And then the parade itself ends down in front of the Veterans Memorial Park
on
Bay
Street.
Now,
are you going to go Quince to Nopal and then around Bay Street, or are you going Quince to Harbor?
Harbor.
Quince to Harbor and then to
First
and then down Nopal and then around the bend. Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to reverse and come back, or are you done after that?
No. Typically, we haven't. It becomes such a bottleneck down there, it's really difficult to try and reverse it and come back. So
ends up down there at the Veterans Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the bridge there.
Nice. Gentlemen, thank you all for your service. We certainly appreciate you know, everything that, that all the men and women have done in the armed forces to keep us free, and, you know, enjoy the Veterans Day celebrations, and, of course, be safe out there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, George.
Thanks for the opportunity.
And coming up on Our Town, we're going to talk with Kathy Murphy about Light Up a Life coming up in December. You're listening to the November edition of Our Town.